Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this will be part number 12. Amazing.
Wow. God is good. God is good.
Yes, He is. And we're going to talk about, at least start talking about, the gift of discerning of spirits in this podcast. But before we do that, as is my custom, I want to introduce my amazing, wonderful, beautiful wife who I appreciate so very much. She is a special blessing in my life, Miss Norca Karina.
Such a blessing to be a part of this amazing podcast, and thank you, Amor, for that wonderful introduction. The most beautiful thing of all is that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that's great that we can share this marriage both as children of God and filled with the Holy Ghost. So I want to encourage our listeners to truly listen carefully, and if they have to take notes, they can. But the good thing about these podcasts is that you can listen to it again and again. That's really good, right? Because sometimes you hear something the first time and you grab some points, you hear some things stand out, but then when you listen to it again, the Holy Spirit just teaches us more with the same word, the same truth. That's how God is. So let's all listen, let's learn. And I know this is going to be very applicable and of great use to each one of us who hungers for the truth. And we know that we are vessels of the Lord for the enrichment of the kingdom.
Wow. Thank you, sweetheart. That was beautifully and wonderfully said. So we're going to start out with our base text from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I know some of you who've listened to these podcasts are hearing the same stuff over and over, especially our base text scriptures. But, you know, we're always thinking also about people who will hear it for the first time, maybe just this particular podcast or maybe certain ones, maybe haven't listened to the whole series. But at the same time, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. So Amen. Hearing it repeatedly oftentimes does help us to absorb the truth and get revelation of it. Just we stated before, like, you know, driving along on the roadways or highways, mm-hmm. we come across certain stores and say, hey, you remember this store over here? And like, what store? I don't remember that store. And then when we hear about it, then we get to looking for it. It's like, well, there it is. It's been there the whole time that I've been living here for the last who knows how long. And somehow we missed it.
Well, right in front of you.
Right there in front of you. And the same with the scriptures.
That's right.
We can read scriptures and say, wow, how did I not see that before? I've read it over and over and over again. I know that, but I missed it. So that's why, you know, it's good to hear things repeatedly. And I say that because I was one, when I first started out, wondering why is this preacher continuing to repeat the same things every time I listen to him in his 15-minute, you know, radio broadcast. And my friend said to me what I'm saying now, faith cometh by hearing. And it's like, okay, but I didn't get it at the time, but now I really do, because, you know, it sinks in more the more we hear things. So, okay, we're going to start out 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And I'll say this, there's a lot of people that are ignorant, and I don't mean stupid. You know, because that's not what ignorant means. Ignorant means lacking in knowledge. They're unknowledgeable about certain things. And many of the body of Christ in the church are lacking knowledge about spiritual gifts, what they are and what they're for, and their value and importance to the church and to the world. And just as I said in some other broadcast, when people get a revelation about how important something is, then obviously that increases its value.
That's true.
And when something is of no value or lesser value, then people don't pay attention to it very much, nor do they pursue it. And, you know, if you don't value something, why would you pursue it?
That's true.
You know, just like I did with you, sweetheart, you know.
That's right.
I pursued you. I left Indiana behind and came all the way out here to Pennsylvania because you were of high value to me, sweetheart.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Okay, so you know, enough lovey-dovey stuff, back to the text, right? But, you know, we want to encourage people about, you know, marriage, who are believing for marriage, that, you know, don't be discouraged. God has someone for you. If you've been waiting and believing God, and it seems like it's taken forever, and it seems like God's not hearing your prayer, if you're committed to Him and His will for you, allowing Him to lead you to the person He sees best for you, He will go above and beyond what you could ask or think.
And, you know, and I feel the need to add something to that as well. And this is, I'm going to, not only to women, I'm going to say both men and women, but maybe a little bit more towards women. Sometimes the Lord brings the right person to you, and we think that everything has to be perfect from the beginning. But I want to remind those women who have had the privilege, the blessing of carrying a child. You know, that's one of the greatest miracles, having a baby, right? But most women know that those morning sickness are not easy, you know, and you are carrying such an amazing gift. It's a new human being, and it's going to bring so much joy. And women, most women are very happy. And as a matter of fact, a little parenthesis here, if you are expecting, please, regardless of the challenges, do not even consider an abortion. Consider an adoption agency. Consider speaking to a Christian counseling center, but please do not abort. So going back here, you know, most women are very happy about this pregnancy, but there is a period of adjustment, a period where your body has to adjust to this, some, to this miracle that's happening inside of you. So I bring that up because sometimes, you know, we are more influenced by Hollywood than we think. And we think that it's love at first sight, and it's that music in the background, and you're running towards each other, you know, kind of like the Hollywood movies. But sometimes it's the right person, but it just needs to get worked at. You know, if you have a peace from the Lord, and you feel and you sense the witness of the Holy Spirit, this is the right person. Even if at the beginning it seems like there are some things that just aren't perfect according to you, the way you would like to see it, just push through, be patient, and continue to seek the Lord's just peace, his witness about it. Because once again, it may be the right person, and I believe, this is me, I believe that there are many relationships that are aborted early in the first trimester because they were the right couple, but the enemy stole the blessing because of that first, sometimes, morning sickness and challenges that comes about when two people, you know, it's two different people that come together. I know this is not the topic, but I just really felt led to share that. So just be brave. And if you have the witness of the Holy Spirit, push through, because you and I, you know, we had these challenges, the distance and here and there, but we pushed through, you know, we stuck together, and now we are so grateful that we did.
Amen. Sweetheart, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, because, you know, this, as much as we talk how romantic we sound, you know, we have faced challenges, and
that's right.
And we do need to stay focused on the goal. You know, a divorce is not an option. You know, we don't need to be entertaining things like that when you run into challenges. So, you know, there probably will come a series here down the road,
yes,
where we'll
true.
Talk about marriage. And
that's true.
I think it'll be very beneficial to many people.
I believe so.
But I appreciate that input, sweetheart. That's very good.
Thank you.
Okay, so as I said in 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant. We want people to be knowledgeable. And obviously from what I'm sharing, what we're sharing here in this series, and now we're on part number 12, podcast 12 in this series. 13. Oh, stand corrected, yes. And maybe more still to come. I'm not sure how far we'll go into this. But obviously, it may look like I'm covering a lot of material, and I do believe I am. But I do know from what I know that there's still a lot of things that has not been said about these gifts. There's much more. So this is one of the reasons why I recommend the book, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit by Derek Prince.
Amen.
Because it's a very valuable resource. It's one of the best books I've seen on the subject.
That's awesome.
And it is my number one book on the subject. So I would recommend reading it. You'll get a lot of insight from the things he shared as well. So, like I said, we're going to talk about the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, that's found down here in verse number 10, I believe it is. It says to another, you know, talking about the manifestation of the Spirit in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And I'm going to read from 7 down to that scripture that I mentioned. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now notice here in verse 10, it mentions also to another the discerning of spirits.
Amen.
And I've heard some preachers say this, that's not the discerning of demons. Well, I mean, it is, but it's not what they're really saying is it's not limited to that. Because the discerning of spirits can be you discern and see Jesus if he were to appear to you and reveal himself to you in that way. So if you saw him manifested, and there's been people who've testified that, oh, I saw Jesus standing on the platform behind the preacher on Sunday morning. But not everybody saw him. Maybe certain individuals did. So the gift of discerning spirits came into operation for that person to see them. Mm-hmm. And the same with angels. You know, that some went to the tomb, and I think it was it Mary Magdalene that saw the angels, saw That's two right. angels, and they appeared to her, you know. So they can appear and reveal themselves to people as God wills, but that gift that's within a person as the gift of the Holy Spirit is manifested as the Spirit wills. We can't turn a button on and off and say, yeah, I can see spirits at will. Well, if a person says that, I'm very highly skeptical, because one is, I know it's not a gift that they can turn on and off. If they're seeing them at will, then it's probably coming from some other type of spirit, you know, that's making them think they have the power to operate these gifts. Just like some people talk about they have the power of telekinesis and levitation and different kinds of things. And that's probably coming from some evil spirits, because as we said early in the series on these podcasts on this series, we said that there are counterfeit gifts coming from the evil ones. So we don't discount the fact that Satan can, you know, that he doesn't have the ability. He does have the ability to counterfeit these gifts. So, but by that mere fact, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, because the devil can do miracles, the devil can do signs and wonders, so therefore we want to discount all signs and wonders. No, we don't want to discount the real, authentic thing.
No, we don't.
Just because there's a counterfeit bill. And I think you said this in one of the podcasts. We don't get rid of money because there's counterfeit money out
there.
That's
right.
We need it, right? So the same here. We don't want to throw away the gifts of the Spirit simply because there's counterfeit gifts. We're told that, you know, in other scriptures about, you know, testing all things and holding fast what is true. And Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we're not going to go to that scripture right now. But talking about the discerning of spirits. So discerning of spirits can be discerning good spirits, angels, the Lord Jesus himself, or even the throne room of God, you know.
And
but it also includes evil spirits, as the Spirit wills. Now for me particularly, this is one of the gifts that I have operating in my life, in my ministry, more than any other of the spirit of these nine spiritual gifts. And the reason I believe that is because, as it says here, for to one is given, you know, verse 7, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given this gift or that gift. So we're all different members of the body, and we all have different functions. And one of the things that the Lord wants me to do in my ministry is teach people about demonic oppression. That's one of my the things that the Lord has me do is teach on. And of course, that isn't the main teaching. My main teaching is discipleship, teaching people the body of Christ, Christians, what it means to take up the cross, follow Jesus, to be a disciple. But in that process of being disciples, there's things we need to learn. More than just the fact is we believe Jesus died on the cross. That's basic salvation, but there's much more. And so one of the things he's gifted me with is this discerning of spirits. Now, the way it's operated in my life primarily up to this point is primarily been in my own personal life. Not really so much in other people's lives as of yet, where I will see spirits, you know, in the atmosphere or around, flying through the air or walking across the floor. You know, I've seen a spirit walk through the door and stand at the end of my bed.
Wow.
You know, I didn't, you know, it wasn't like, a where I saw clearly a human form, but it was like a human form, but it was a three-dimensional dark form. I saw that come through there and stand there. You might say, well, what did it look like? Well, it's not so much important what they look like, because sometimes God gives people different aspects of, you know, showing them how they may appear. Because I've seen one in a dream that appeared after I came out of the hospital, and I saw him very clearly. Hmm. He looked like a cross between a cat and a raccoon, you know, like an animal. But he stood up about 4.5-5 feet tall, and he pointed his pointy finger at me and said, I'm the angel of darkness. And you could see the pride that he had in his expression of who he believed he was. Well, the Lord led me to rebuke him and run him off.
Yeah.
But the point is, you can see him, different spirits in different forms, according to as the Lord will lead you for whatever purpose that is.
I was going to ask you that, because obviously if this is a gift from the Holy Spirit, it's not to do you harm.
Right. It's there to help educate you and help you to deal with the spirits, because that may be another reason why the Lord gave it to me, because I had a lot of that stuff growing up in my life, a lot of demonic oppression, you know, being loud as a child. You know, I don't really fault my parents for this, although they just didn't know any better. Allowing us kids to watch a lot of bad shows, movies and stuff, horror movies and all kinds of things that, you know, actually put a spirit of fear in me. And that's, you know, that's something I want to say to the audience here is be aware of the things you allow your children to watch.
That's so true.
Because you can be opening up a door. I mean, this is directly the case. You can open the door to the demonic by the things you allow your children to watch on television or at the movies,
right,
or even games and video games and things they bring into the home.
Especially.
Or these are doorways, legal rights that the devil has to come in.
Right.
And once that spirit comes in, he's got a legal right to be there until you cancel that legal right, which is to acknowledge that it's sin. Like, for example, playing with Ouija boards.
I was just going to mention that. That's right.
That is one of the biggest ones right there.
That's right.
People play with Ouija boards, and now all of a sudden they start having nightmares. They see that thing moving across the board and spelling out words for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known people, grown people, who played with it, and they got freaked out after that, and they were terrified of the things that they spelled out to them, that they were going to die, and then some one of them died. It's nothing to be around with.
No, it's not. It's not even funny, no. And, you know, since you brought it up, I think it would also now be appropriate, those parents and adult teachers, which, by the way, also parents, you know, be careful and follow up with what your children are learning in school as well, because you don't know what that particular teacher believes in. And sometimes they just bring teachings that are not biblical to the children and activities. But now that you brought that up, if a parent has opened the door, you know, and we pray that with this, there is a new awareness and we'll be more careful with the TV shows, the movies, the video games, you know, what are they watching on YouTube? What can a parent do? After you said cancel, what does that mean? Does that mean in a practical way?
Okay, we'll address that before we get more into the teaching on this particular subject is that basically first you acknowledge that what has been done was sin, was wrong. You know, because we're told in even the Old Testament, you know, not to, you know, have anything to do with sorcery.
Right. That's right.
With divination, yeah. With those who do enchantments, all these different types of things, calling up the dead and all these things. And people think, oh, that's harmless. It don't mean nothing mm-hmm. to go to a palm reader or to a psychic or any of these things. And some of them are fake. You know, they're just trying to make some money. But some of them are operating by evil demonic spirits.
Absolutely.
And they can read your mail.
Right. Exactly.
And how do they know things? You know, they have supernatural powers. But, you know, without getting into the details how that spirit knows things about you, they know things and they can say, oh, wow,
of course.
They told me the truth.
Right.
They
your
knew.
Your grandmother, oh, your aunt, your uncle, they know.
Right. Right, and generally, it's a, you know, there's a communication with other spirits that are there, and they're in the spiritual world, so they observe and are watching human beings all the time. So that's really how they know a lot of these things. But the point is, by going to one of these palm readers, psychics, or whatever, and opening the door, because you're opening the door to the devil, and therefore he now has a legal right to be in your life. And I'll tell a little story here about. I don't know if I told this before in one of our podcasts about this little girl that basically become almost demon possessed, and this church and these people were trying to cast this demon out. They had her in one of the Sunday school rooms because, you know, they had to get her kind of off to the side away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And there were several people in there trying to cast this demon out of her, and they couldn't get the job done. That was only really scaring the girl. And so one of the ministers came in there and said, okay, well, let me, get everybody to calm down. We'll get everybody out of here because it's really scaring the girl. Mm-hmm. And he sat down alone before he went in and asked the Lord, what should he do? And he said one word came to him, and it was the word Leo. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know what that meant or anything, but he went in and talked to her, and just her and her parents and him. And discussed it, said, okay. He asked the girl, what does the word Leo mean? Does the word Leo mean any to you? All of a sudden, her eyes got real big. She said, oh my, that's the evil spirit that came to me to offer me these supernatural powers, you know, some time back, maybe a few years. And she had the power to levitate things, objects. She had some supernatural powers. But after a period of time, she said, it was all friendly and everything in the beginning, but he began to scare her. And she became so terrified of the spirit that he was going to kill her. And he said to her, do you want to be free from this spirit? And she said, yes. I think she was probably about 11, 12, 13
wow,
years old by
so
that time.
Young.
And, you know, because little children can get supernatural
that's
powers.
That's right. That's right.
And so basically he took authority over it and had to renounce it, you know. When you say renounce it, you acknowledge that what you did was sin, it was wrong, opening that door and confess it as sin and ask God and the Lord Jesus to forgive you.
Amen.
And if you're already saved, you know, because the evil spirits can come into Christians' lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because people say, well, the Christians can't have demons. We're not necessarily just talking about spirits getting, you know, inside someone. Because
possession.
We talked about this before that
right, we did. We
the
did.
Spirit won't possess the Christian
the
in their spirit because
right.
We're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, but he can be in their life. You can have a little dog following you around everywhere you go. You ever notice that when people walk in the street and there's a stray dog, you feed him, that dog will follow you home. You know, and want to be your pet. And demons will do the same thing, you know.
And the Bible says, the Word of God says, because interesting that you bring up that we could, this can happen even to believers. Believers should not be having any communion with darkness. And the Word of God says it, you know, and it's not harmless. What communion can light have with darkness? There is no communion. We cannot say I'm a Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the days I'm doing my own thing. You can't think that you are seeking the Holy Spirit and also unclean spirits at the same time, and there aren't going to be any consequences. Like God can't be mocked, right? So this is a word of awareness, encouragement. Hey, if you are interested in anything that does not have to do with the Holy Spirit, with godliness, with holiness, please do not continue to pursue those things. Even if you have been taught that that's harmless, it is not harmless. God does not allow, God is not pleased with his children seeking information, what's going to happen to me tomorrow? Can you guide me? Can you prophesy the future to me? To anyone, any other entity that's not himself, we should only seek the counsel and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Any other spirit that does not proceed from God is not holy, it's not clean, and we should not have any communion with it, nor our children.
That's exactly true, sweetheart. You said it. You said it so true and so clear. And people say, well, I don't see what's so big deal about that. You know, what's so wrong with seeking guidance from spirits? You know, we should all have a spirit guide. You know, well, demon spirits are up to one purpose. That is to deceive you, to steal, kill, and destroy in your life.
That's right.
They're not your friend. They're not your buddy. They're not wanting to do you good. They may appear that way.
That's right.
Because it's all deception.
As an angel of light.
Yes.
As an angel of light.
You know, and that's what the scripture says. You know, it says that Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light.
Mm.
You know, but he is not an angel of light. His demon spirits are not angels of light. They are evil.
That's
and they're
right.
intent upon the evil. And they will mask themselves. I've had a evil spirit appear to me in my dream. And you say, well, dreams are just dreams. No, you can have angels even appear. Good angels appear, because it says that an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to warn him to get out of it, you know, to leave
That's
Israel.
True.
And they went to Egypt for a while when Jesus was a little baby, a little child. Right? So God can use dreams, and so can evil spirits. And so I had this one appear to me and said he was my angel. This one said they were my angel and sent to give me a warning. And I heard the sniffles from him. And it sounded like a girl angel, you know, and saying, "What? I'm your angel, Keith. I'm your angel, and I've been sent to give you a warning. You're going to be shot, but you'll be okay." Well, all of a sudden, fear came on me. I'm going to get shot. But, you know, supposedly I'm going to be okay. Well, see, what that spirit was trying to do was get me to accept that I could be shot. See, sometimes they're not coming the direct way to say, you're going to die, which they may do that too. They may come to try to just debate you one step at a time. Like people will say this. They say, I don't believe in that confession business. But they don't realize that out of their innermost being, you know, the Bible says will flow rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit, but same goes for what we believe in our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We speak according to our faith all the time. Now, we can say silly, nonsensical stuff that we don't believe, but what we believe that comes out of our mouth is our faith speaking, and those can be legal doors opening to the enemy. You know, say, well, you know, I just trust God if I ever get in a car accident, he'll protect me so I won't die. Well, that first step right there is to open the door for a car accident if I get into one. Well, now, somebody might say, well, you're making a big deal about all this. We'll get to more about confession, faith confessions later in some other series on our podcast. But the point is, we're talking about here with discerning of spirits is, even though discerning of spirits, where I wanted to go more further into this is going to go into the next part, because we're going to have to do a part number 13 or 14.
14.
Yeah, I'm mixed up on which part I'm on.
This is right? 13.
You know, because the things I was intending to talk about haven't even really got into those things yet, because we're talking about some of these things dealing with witchcraft and the occult.
This is very important, and I'm sure it's going to make a big difference in many people's lives, because honestly, I believe that some people are involved and participate in things of darkness out of pure ignorance. And once you, as you said, is ignorance doesn't mean, you know, stupidity, but lack of knowledge But some people, yeah, they just know it's not good and they just blatantly, they don't care. They think it's harmless. So I know that it's going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And this is just goes right into what we're going to be discussing next time, which is the discernment of spirits, because I believe this is just a good introduction and a good base, a good foundation. And can you imagine how many children will be saved? How many children will be freed, even from demonic oppression, because parents will now be aware, not only for their own lives, but also for their children? So this is huge. What's being shared now is going to make a very big difference in the lives of many, many people of all ages.
Yeah, sweetheart, you're so right on. And you would know better than most people because of the fact that you run a daycare.
That's right.
And have a lot of children with that you've seen over the years come in and out of there with a lot of behavioral problems.
That's
and
right.
There's a good chance, good possibility that there's been doors opened.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Through the cartoons and movies, the shows, the things they watch, the things their parents may have even allowed to be brought into the house. The
right.
occult, I mean, the Hollywood TV world, all that movies that's so ripe with the occult.
That's right.
And witchcraft and things like that, masking it as the, you know, harmless, fun, and exciting.
Exactly.
Even in cartoons.
That's right.
And so, yeah, these are warnings, and we'll get more in depth on these things in the next podcast and talk more also about, you know, how the gift actually works.
That's right. And, of course, we want to make sure that every listener, whether you are a born-again believer, or not, that you have the opportunity to know what it's about. And being born again means that you have given your life to Jesus. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means that you are a creation of God, but you're not a child of God. And God wants you to be His child. So the only way that you can become a child of God is by accepting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, admitting that you are a sinner and you need Jesus to save you and forgive you from your sins, which means that you have to die eternally. Now, as I said before, there's only two options. Either Jesus Christ pays for your sins or you pay for them. He paid for my sins, and that is why I gave Him my heart to Him. And I know that when I close my eyes here in this planet, I will be with the Lord, the same as with Keith and born again believers. So we encourage you, make that decision today. You may be wondering, why do I have this void in my heart? What's going on? No matter what I do, nothing fills this void. Well, you know what? It's because Jesus made you, God made you, so that He can fill that place, that void in your heart. So give your heart to the Lord today, and you will be born again and begin a brand new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. We appreciate that. So, like I said, we'll continue this in the next part number 14, because there's a lot more to be said about this gift of discerning of spirits.
Very good.
Thanks for listening, and God bless you all, and have a good night or a good morning.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.